This recording might be called Listen to Your Bees. You will remember how previous workers have taught us to use our eyes in beekeeping and to judge the condition of the colony without disturbance by watching the appearance and behavior of the bees in flight and on the alighting board. Now, Mr. E.F. Woods, B.Sc., has shown us how sounds, suitably amplified, can indicate not only the present condition of the colony, but also its future intentions. This, too, can be carried out without so much as lifting the lid of the hive. For many years, Mr. Woods has been a sound engineer with the BBC, and during the past 10 years, he has tried to turn his knowledge of radio and acoustics to some practical use in the field of apiculture, for Eddie Woods is also a competent beekeeper. Now, in 1959, his radio amplifier, known as an apidictor, used with a small microphone and headphones, has reached a stage of development where Mr. Woods can rightly claim that it is of practical value to the beekeeper, especially to the commercial man whose aim is to cut down labor costs and increase honey production. It seems likely that before long, this instrument will come onto the market at a figure around £25. And in the meantime, Mr. Woods is prepared to hire out the instrument on a yearly basis. Listen now to Mr. Woods himself. He will record for you the sounds which may be heard in and about the hive with the aid of the apidictor, and he will interpret them and describe their importance.
The normal sound of a queen-right colony in the breeding season, with no intention of swarming, is a fundamental tone of about 180 cycles per second, produced mainly by the spiracles, with harmonics of 360, 540, and so on. This is the sound. The well-known queenless moan, or warble as I prefer to call it, appears whenever anything occurs to interfere with the egg production of the queen, throwing the nurse bees out of work. It consists of a varying bell-like note superimposed on a normal sound and produced mainly by the nurses. This record was taken after the colony had been dequeened for about 5 hours. Show the difference more definitely. Here is a quick change from normal to queenless to normal to queenless. It has always been implied and stated that this warble is only associated with absolute queenlessness. But I found that it occurred under any conditions of slowing down of a position, even when the queen moved from one comb interface to another, which of course occurs every few days. This is quite a temporary condition. But what I may call partial dequeening occurs in several circumstances, such as queen failure leading to supersedure, drone breeding, and also following the neglect of the queen in preparation for swarming. Its presence during this pre-swarm period is masked, and it is inaudible to an unaided ear because it is a faint sound made by only about 2% of the bees, and the swarm, which has lost its loyalty to the old colony, is still in the hive. A filter and amplifier can, however, select out the sound with the result that the warble can be detected up to 20 days before the issue of the swarm. That is, at least 10 days before visible indications are present.
A small nucleus was dequeened and allowed to warble. The recording machine was started, and after about 20 seconds, the queen was dropped in. The resultant sound is given, showing quite clearly the changeover from the warbling condition to the normal. First, as heard without a filter. And now, with the filter inserted. The normal sound, as heard through the filter, sounds like this. The pre-swarm sound at about the 2-day-old queen larva stage sounds like this. Thus, this sound can be used to indicate, and without any disturbance, preparations for swarming. The conclusions I have reached are that the warble is related to the progressive decline of the old queen, and is a function of queen smell and queen substance. As I said before, however, this sound also accompanies other phenomena, and a second sound, the well-known hiss, can be used. It is difficult to record, but this is an attempt. The same colony was jarred. The shape of the hiss should be noted. It is a short, sharp, violent sound which ceases within about a fifth of a second and is quite typical of a normal colony, that is, one not contemplating swarming. But if the breeding balance of the colony, the ratio of the eggs and the larvae to the number of nurses is lowered, this sound changes its shape. Its intensity is decreased and it flattens out. This is the condition during pre-swarm. Eggs and larvae are decreasing and the nurse population is expanding. But in supersedure, the egg production doesn't fall much and the balance remains. Swarming and supersedure both produce the warble, but the hiss is quite different. In the pre-swarm period, the hiss declines from this, which is at about, say, 14 days before the swarm really emerges, to this. In other words, it lengthens in time and is less violent. And finally, just about the appearance of the first queen cell, it becomes something like this, lasting 10 or 12 seconds or more. And at about ceiling, it vanishes altogether and only reappears after a virgin has started to lay. The warble, on the other hand, also vanishes at about or just after ceiling, but the seal of cells emit an odor, and the colony slowly returns to queen-likeness. And also, of course, the eggs have hatched. All bees have passed the nursing age, and so there's no bee in the hive which can produce a warble. When supersedure is taking place, the hiss remains as a short, violent, transient. These functions of filtering and amplification have been embodied in the Apidicta, which is now patented in the USA. And this instrument should eliminate most of the 97% of wasted examinations now undertaken, and, of course, should eliminate the violent and unnecessary disturbance of the colonies, and hence give an enormously increased honey production. Both, fortunately, take place at the same time. Saving of labor, which means saving of cost, and extra honey. Queen piping. Queens can pipe during the ripening period. Emergence from the cell, the virgins, if they approach each other, will challenge and fight. This sound, heard outside the hive, is a high-pitched, rather squeaky note. That, for your benefit, is 89 pipes in succession, which shows extremely good breathing apparatus. But it's not the true note of queen piping, and for definite acoustic technical reasons, the fundamental cannot be heard more than a few inches away from the queen. With a small microphone, a fraction of an inch from the queen, this is the true piping note of a virgin queen. A mated queen in full lay a sound which is probably never heard under natural conditions, pipes thus. The sound, due to the constriction of the breathing apparatus inside the abdomen, is rather weaker than that of a virgin queen, and also the note is much less certain, but there is no other difference. Some other miscellaneous sounds are also taken, the drones and workers in flight being one. Previous measurements of insect wing beats have been obtained by fixing the insect down on a card, and this gives a result which is always about 20% too low. This record is of drones in free flight. Notice that there was one slightly higher pitched wing beat in that, which was one lady intruding among the gentlemen. This track is of workers with drones, which was taken just outside the flight board of an ordinary hive. You will hear the higher pitched workers' wing beat with an occasional deeper note of a drone. And just for fun, when we'd finished the recording, we opened the colony without smoke, lifted the brood box, dropped it, and took the consequences, and this is what the microphone heard. And there is one curious but well-known sound which is given various names, frying, frizzling, asking. It occurs when the bees find that they haven't sufficient room in the hive, or they think they haven't sufficient room, and they will rip a quilt to pieces or try to make their way through a crown board. It's simply a little clicking noise, and if you use a glass quilt, you can see them trying to dig a way through it with their mandibles. This is the sound. Of course, if you hear this sound, your immediate reaction should be to put on another super.
We are grateful to Mr. Woods for allowing us to take a copy of his actual recordings. In order to attune your ears to some of the sounds which you have heard, I would suggest that you play this recording over several times. several practical applications become apparent. Not only can the intention of the colony to swarm be detected, but the actual time of swarming can be estimated. The queenless warble gives an indication of the time when a new queen may be safely introduced, and it becomes possible to decide whether a colony intends to swarm or to supersede the queen. It seems that we are entering a new era in beekeeping, and henceforth we must not only watch, but we must listen to our bees. Finally, Mr. Wood's address is 91 Manor Road South, Esher, Surrey.